it's Sunday morning, June the 6th, and we're going to be turning to St. John chapter 14. The Lord led me to this message, for this message this morning. He led me to these scriptures. And two things he kept saying to me this morning was change and diligence. Change. These are the key words I kept hearing in the Spirit, was change, which nobody really likes change. You know, people get set in a certain way of doing things, and they don't. And you come along and say, well, we got to change all that. No, you're not doing that right. Well, I like the way I was doing that. Well, you know, a lot of people just don't like change. You know, well, you know, like you've lived in the house for 25 years or 30 years or even 10 years, and the state highway is going to take your house. Well, I don't want to move. This is my house. I don't want to leave. And a lot of people go through a lot of grief when they have to make a change. So, you know, there's different things that causes change in our lives, but change can really be good. Change is really is good. So the Holy Spirit was speaking to me a couple of things this morning. It was change was one word I heard. And the other word was diligence. And the other one was contend. Heard the word arm. Be armed. To be armed. Arm yourself. Arm. Prepare. All these words I've shared have to do with a revelation that I believe the Lord wants to get over to us, and I think specifically this morning, because I mean God knows exactly what we all need to hear, right? And as you examine yourself right now and you think about where are you right now, what do you believe, what do you think, how you feel, the things in your life right now, they're not going to stay that way. Did you know nothing stays the same? Nothing stays the same. Things are going to change. So you might as well just get ready. Arm yourself with this. Change is coming. Change is imminent. And change is important. Change is good. It's really good. I would hate to think that I would be the same person that I was 10 years ago, living in the same place, doing the same thing, and never growing or never changing. See, growth makes you change. Growing makes you change. Look at thinking about your children. How would you like to keep your kids stuck at 5 years of age? That would not be good if that child never was able to change through development, through education, through growth. So change is so important to life. Everything about life has to do with change. And a lot of people just really buck up when they think they got to change. But there's going to be some things you're going to change. There's going to be things, if you'll serve God the way God wants you to serve Him, and you'll look to God the way He wants you to look to Him, and if you'll really seek Him the way He wants you to seek Him, you're going to do some changing. I can testify to that as a fact. You will change. So just get ready. Prepare that in your mind right now. Get an understanding. You're going to be doing some changing. You're going to start, and just begin, it's going to start today. Change is going to start happening right now. And that's exciting to me because God is in control of the change when you're serving Him and you're looking to Him. If you get in the Word, start seeking the Lord, He will do the changing. The Word of God says that you can be transformed. That's the biggest change in the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To be transformed is an amazing thing. Transformation. It means you were one thing and you looked a certain way, you thought a certain way, and all of a sudden, now you're transformed into something completely different. Like a caterpillar and a butterfly. It was a caterpillar. This is what it looked like. This was what it did. This is how it lived. It ran around munching on leaves all the time, real slow. Just munching, 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 munching. Just walking around, all of its little legs crawling everywhere it went. I had to crawl everywhere. And it was an ugly little thing. It wasn't pretty at all. And all of a sudden, one day, change came. And it didn't crawl anymore. It began to flit, 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 and it flitted everywhere. And it flew with grace. And it flew with speed. Warp speed compared to what it was doing. And it was able to do things it never did before. But it's still the same creature. It was transformed. That's the best example to me of what God is doing with His children, is we are being transformed. I don't look anything like I did when I first met Jesus, because spending time with him has made transformations in me, and it will make transformation in anyone. Change will come. I mean, you can say amen.
Amen.
It's a truth. That isn't just a hope-so. That's a no-so. That's a no-so thing. Change is imminent. But not everybody wants to change. And I was sharing this morning with Jerry. We was talking about free will. Everybody has a free will. That is something that God gave every man and every woman. Mankind has been given a free will. As much as I'd like to make somebody do something I want them to do, that person has free will. And God will protect that free will. Because if he changed the free will in somebody, he'd have to do it in everybody. Because he's no respecter of person. If he come along and said, okay, I'll make this person do what I want him to do, I'll yank him up by the hair of the head and they're going to do by golly what I say. Well, then he'd have to do that to everybody. Because that'd not be fair to do it to just one person and make them do right, and not to make everybody do right. I'd love to see everybody do right. I'd love to see everybody on fire for God. I'd love to see everybody on their knees 3 times a day and praying and seeking God and reading the Word and preaching and praying and witnessing to everybody and just, hallelujah, we could all just get raptured. But there's free will. I can't make everybody do that. I can't. I'd love to. I'm sure God would love to. But he can't, because he has set something in place in every human being, and it's called free will. It's their will. And he will protect that. You can't make anybody do anything. Now, you could try to through manipulation, but that's witchcraft. Witchcraft is their way to get what they want, is witchcraft. Witchcraft, and you know Christians operate in witchcraft. They don't know it. They don't want to be exposed to that. But it's true. Any form of manipulation is a form of witchcraft. I can trick somebody into doing what I want them to do. That's manipulation. But this is not what the message is about this morning. Message is about change, but the change the way God wants it to be. The change the way God has ordained change to come. There's a right way for change to be a part of your life. And you want that. I want change. God, I want to be a better person this time next year than I am today. I want to have more revelation this time next year than I have today. I want to be more powerful in the things of God this time next year than I am today. This time next week, God, give me more power. This time tomorrow, I want more revelation. This time tonight, I don't even want to wait till next week or tomorrow. I want it now. He's a now God. And change is mine. It's mine. Thank God he didn't leave me the same. I was a mess. But there's a way, the right way, that God will operate. We operate in the change of God. God changes us. Let's go back to the verses we were sharing or getting ready to share. St. John chapter 14. The Holy Spirit spoke something to me. He said if every believer would take this chapter and really believe every single thing he said, you would be so established. And just about everything you need to know about your relationship with the Lord is right here in this chapter. Now, I know that sounds wild. That's kind of a strong statement to make, but it really is true. Because let's just read each one of these verses. And this is how it begins. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now, I want you, before I read on, I want you to think about this as we read these scriptures. I want you to picture Jesus talking to you personally. I want you to picture Jesus right here in front of you talking to you. Because he never, ever changes. He's one that doesn't have to change. He said, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever." Now that's good news, because we're all working toward the change of being conformed into his image. It's his image that's creating this desire to change. We've got something we can change into and move toward. The change is all about looking like him, moving away from where we have been and moving more into his way of thinking, his realm of life, and into the things of the kingdom of God. And those things are eternal. They do not change. I don't believe there's a lot of change in God. He said, I change not. Did he not say that? So he's established his word in the heavens forever. There's things that are not going to change. But we're changing. We're being transformed, and we're moving toward, because we're not there. We are not conformed into his image yet. I'm certainly not. I don't think anybody on the face of the earth yet is. But we're moving toward that change is in him. And so when he says, let not your heart be troubled, he would not have said that if it was not possible for your heart not to be troubled. Wouldn't it be great to wake up every day and know that this is the way I live? I don't let my heart be troubled. I don't let my heart be troubled about anything. I don't let my heart be troubled when I hear on the news there's a tsunami. I don't let my heart be troubled when I hear that there was Twin Towers blowed up in New York. I don't let my heart be troubled. I don't let my heart be troubled when I get a notice. Something bad's going to happen. They're going to shut my electric off. They're going to shut my water off. I have been through all these things. And I remembered the word of the Lord would say to me, don't let your heart be troubled. I said, Lord, how do you not let your heart be troubled? Are you here dealing with this? Is this your problem? Yeah, it's my problem. If you give it to me. You see, the key is learning how to walk and not let your heart be troubled. Keep you off of drugs. Keep you out of situations. You won't go places you shouldn't go, do things you shouldn't do when your heart's not troubled. And Jesus would not have said, let not your heart be troubled, if it wasn't the way he wanted us to live. That's the thing I wanted to say. Because I know this is about change. And this is about changing the way we think. There's people that get up every day and they think, oh Lord, what's going to happen today? Oh Lord. And they may not say it, but they're thinking it. I don't know what's going to happen next. I've heard people say that. And all they've got this in the back of their mind. They've got this place where they're just ready for something bad. And they're troubled. That's a troubled mind. They're just ready for bad. They've had so much bad happen and they don't know what to do with the bad. They're just ready for more bad. But Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. The heart is the real you. And then the next verse he says, you believe in God, believe also in me. You believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, he's putting himself equal with God. You believe in God, then believe in me. He's equal to God, is exactly what he's saying. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus is the Word made flesh, and he dwelt among us. You believe in God, believe in me. Equal. And what did God do with Jesus? What happened? What is the thing? What is this about Jesus? He is God made flesh. He is God incarnate. But he's also God all man. He's God the man. Now when you start seeing Jesus as God the man, who has been touched with every feeling that you'll ever feel, who knows every temptation that you'll ever be tempted with. In fact, he was tempted with things we'll never be tempted with. We've never resisted against blood striving against him. We've never been put to that test. I've never been crucified. I've never been beaten 39 times. I've never fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, Jesus went through things for us. He did all that he did for us. He did not have to come here and do anything that he did, but it was the heart and the will of God to save man and to bring us out of the depraved condition we were in. We were lost. In fact, I was just thinking about this the other day. I said, Lord, you know, I was so blind. And I'm walking along in life, living life, and so many people are just living life and they don't even have a clue how real you are. They don't know how real eternity is. They never even think about God. They're totally in darkness. They're completely isolated, cut off, isolated from the real truth about the kingdom of God and heaven and Jesus and angels. And they don't even know devil's real. They just get up every day and live life the best they can. They don't even, it's like they're in a capsule. Do you remember when you were like that? I do. I remember when I had no thoughts about anything except just doing my thing. Just doing my thing that I knew to do. Conditioned to do a certain thing and, you know, get up and eat. And I knew I had to eat and I knew I had to, I liked eating. I liked partying and just did my thing. The Holy Spirit will make Jesus so real to you. That's his job, is to reveal truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He never speaks anything but what he hears. Now let's just go ahead and read some more of this, because this has got to be in you. You've got to know this inside of your heart. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now there's much more to that verse than just I'm going away and I'm going to get you back and I'm going to take you to heaven with me. That's part of it. But the preparation he was talking about here was making a way for you to come in to revelation knowledge and coming into all the change that he wants you to have. Change was not possible until he went away to prepare a way for you and I to change. Change the way we think, have revelation, understanding. He went and prepared the way for salvation. There was no hope. We were lost without God. No hope. And he said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I go to prepare a place. I'm making the way for salvation. I'm making accessible. I'm making the throne of God accessible for you. And when I do make this accessible to you, I'm going to come back and I'm going to make sure that you are where I am also. Now, we know right now that he's at the right hand of the Father. We know that he went and made a way for us to access the throne of God, the throne room of God. And that's accessible now. You tell me I've got a way to go into the Oval Office. I'm in front of the White House and there's all these armed guards and you've got the FBI and you've got all the military and all these people keeping you out of the Oval Office. And all of a sudden someone says, I'm giving you access to the president. I'm giving you access. You can just go right on in. And you just go right on in. You realize, hey, I've got access to the highest office in the land. That makes you somebody. Because nobody else, at least not too many people, have access to that place. Whoever the president might be at the time. I mean, still, it takes, you got to be a pretty important person to get there, to have access to that. Well, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare access for you someplace, because my Father has lots of places. But I'm going away, and where I am, you can be there too. And it means he's going to make a way for us to have access to him. Amen. We can come boldly to that throne of grace now because of what he prepared for us to have. He prepared a pathway, a free pathway. It's free and clear. You mean I don't have to pay any money? I don't have to fast 5 days? You know, what is the qualifications to get me into the throne room of God? He said it's free. I've made access for you. Now you can come boldly to the throne of God, throne of grace, the word says. Be bold. And that's what that whole verse is about. He says, I've prepared a way for you to come to where I am. It's a real place. He's just not some floating poof up there in the air. In our minds, we might just see heaven as a place where everybody just floats around. That's not heaven. Heaven is a real place with real mansions, with real people, with real angels, with real stuff everywhere. There's real gold there. I believe there's real trees. I believe there's real brooks and water and streams. I believe there's real a lot of things. And Jesus said, I'm making a way for you to be there too. And I don't mean just when you die. Because they've already proved it. Just read the book of Acts and you can see they had access to Jesus. He was working with them the whole time in the book of Acts. Every miracle, the Lord was working with them with signs and wonders following. And you just read the book of Acts and you'll see how the Holy Spirit and Jesus were working with the disciples, that there was no time or distance between them. They were in with him and he was with them. Well, was he here physically? No, he said, I'm going to go away. But I'm going to make a way for you to be where I am. And that where I am, you can be also. So when you get up every morning, I want you to know you can walk and talk with Jesus and be with him in the presence of God, in the throne room of God, and you can live your day out every day in his presence, that where he is, you are also there. You've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ. That's awesome. Just a revelation. If that don't change you, nothing will. Just knowing that will change you. You won't want to do the things you did before. Because his eyes are looking at you now. He's prepared a place and a way for you to get there in his presence. Amen. And then he says this to me this morning. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Oh, yeah, I do. Oh, yeah, I do know. Was there a time I didn't know? There was a time I didn't know. But I'm without excuse. I know the way. I know. You know the way. You know the way. You know the way. You know the way. He is the way. He gets ready to say that. I'm the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. Period. He's just so bold in their face. The Pharisees hated him. Who do you think you are? I used to tell my family stuff. Who do you think you are? God? Well, I know him pretty well. See, you got to know who you are, because the devil will oppose your knowing. He always opposes the truth because he's a liar. The lie is the total opposite of the truth. He's a spirit of lie. Just like the Holy Spirit's the spirit of truth, he's a spirit of lie. He's a spirit of lie. He's a liar. There is no truth in him. Amen. So you know the way, and Jesus is the way. It doesn't matter what the problem is. That's how you can walk around your heart not being troubled, because you know the way. That's when you know the way, is when your heart's not troubled. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's when you know the way. That's when you know you're changing. Now you're really coming into some change. Metamorphosis, transformation. Things are changing in you, because you wake up and you're not afraid anymore, because where he is, you are there also. Isn't this good news? I love the change that he's made in me. I'm so thankful that I don't walk around nervous, shaky, and jerky anymore. I'm so thankful that I don't have to have a drug to give me peace. He's my Prince of Peace. I know where to run to get peace. I know where to go to have joy. I know where to get my love tank filled up. I know how to get my love tank filled up. Everybody's got a love tank. You know that? Every one of us has an emotional love tank. And I sometimes just tell the Lord, you know, Lord, I got beat up here today. Somebody really was ugly to me today. Now, I'm not going to get offended, but I certainly would like to be loved on a little bit here. I want to know you. You know, I just want to feel your presence. Can you give me some affirmation love here? Give me some love. And he just does it. I know where to go to get my love tank filled. Usually it's not from people, because you learn how to walk in the Spirit. You learn how to trust him. Isn't this been good? This is just good news. But chapter 14 is a powerful chapter if you read it over and over and over and see what the message he was leaving his disciples. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to go away. He's getting their hearts prepared. He's getting them ready to face the hardest thing they've ever faced as his disciples. You see, these people were really sold out. They were sold out. They had left everything, and they knew there was no going back. I really believe when they left their boats, I believe there wasn't any chance of going back. I think they really sold out. I really believe that. Even though after he died, they went back, but I don't think it was the same for them. I think they lost a lot of their customers. I think a lot of other shippers or fishermen had taken their business. I think there was a lot of things it was an economic nightmare for them to walk away, because it meant somebody else is going to step in and take over their business. and their customers. But I just truly believe they were sold out and they were ready for change. And when God and the Lord Jesus was speaking this to them, they took a hold of it. And that's what we have to do as believers. We have to read chapter 14 of St. John. Thank God we have it. They didn't have this. They had Jesus. But we had Jesus here just as much as they had Jesus. Right here. Right now. He is here right now speaking through the Spirit of God. That's what he said he was going to do. That's what he was talking about. He said, whither I go and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, verse 5, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Now that's an unregenerated mind thinking, trying to figure it out. An unregenerated mind, a carnal mind, trying to understand, natural mind, a natural man, trying to understand all these spiritual things he's just said. He said, now excuse me, where are you going and how are we going to know the way? Natural man cannot receive the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. You've got to get a spiritual ear to hear this message. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why do you think so many religions are so angry in opposition against Christians? Pretty much the same reason they are with the Jews. They're God's chosen people. We're the only ones that know God. Well, it's almost like we're saying the same thing. You can't know God if you don't know Jesus. Well, we don't believe in Jesus. We don't believe he. We just believe he was a good man. Well, then you don't know God. You don't have access to the Father. Well, that upsets religion. That upsets a lot of religions. It really upsets them bad. But it's still the truth. If you believe in Jesus, it's the truth. There's even some Christians that you tell them this. Well, you know the Word says that no man can come unto the Father but by Jesus. Well, I don't believe that. Let me take you to chapter 14, verse 8. Or 6, I'm sorry, verse 6. Let me take you there. Where Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. That's pretty plain. I'm the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We are so used to being able to bend the rules to conform to us. We're so able to be able to bend things and manipulate situations to make it work. Let's just make this work. Let's make this politically correct so everybody will be okay with it. Let's just make it sound right so we don't offend anybody. This is an offensive word right here. This is in your face word. When Jesus made this statement, he said it to his disciples and he said it as a fact. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Now, if you know Jesus, we all know that's the truth. We know that he is the way, and we know that he is the life. I don't have a problem with believing that. But I'll tell you something. People out beside of believers, even some believers, have a problem with that. That's such a in-your-face statement. Amen. It's a fact. You mean I can't get around that? I can't change that? I can't bend that a little bit? No. There's no bending that. He's the way. Well, then, if he's the way, then what is he talking about, the way? There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end of that way is death. That's what the Word says. There is a way that always seems right to people. But Jesus said, I'm the way. Jesus is the way.
Amen.
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 Okay? I accept that. I've made a determination. I believe that. Okay, I'm accepting that. Now, considering that Jesus shows up in my living room one day, I see him just like I'm looking at you, Walter, right now. I saw Jesus. I was in a trance. And he came into my kitchen. And I realized there is a real God. I mean, he's real. And if he, I don't care what he says to me, he's God. All I got to do is look at that sun and realize, whatever you say, yes, sir, whatever you say. I kind of decided right then and there, at the age of 22 in 1978, right then and there, yes, sir, no arguments with you. Whatever you say, I believe it. You're God. You see, we don't realize that God really is God. And Jesus says, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. So Jesus is God. So if he says, I'm the way, that's just the way it is. And I'd say, I mean, I understand that, but I'm not going to argue with you. You made the sun, the moon, the stars, and you made me. Who am I to argue with you? If you said you're the way, thank you, I accept that. I just decided that whatever I read in the Word of God, I was going to believe it, even if it rubbed me backwards, even if it didn't feel good, even if I didn't like it. And you know what that does? It makes you change. It makes you think. It makes you start changing. You might kick and scream all the way to change. And I have. I have. There's a scripture that came to me this morning. It says, arm yourselves. Arm yourselves with this. That he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Because your flesh is not going to like some of the things Jesus said about himself. My flesh doesn't really like some things about this Bible, what it has said to me, my flesh. But the good thing is my spirit, my heart, the real me, the real heart of me, when I said, yes, Lord, it really meant. If you can get your heart to agree with God, your flesh can be dealt with. So you've got to deal with your heart first. Your heart has got to say, yes, Lord, I agree with you. You are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. Now we can go somewhere. Change will be easier when your heart is in agreement with the Word. Because your flesh, when you realize your flesh ain't going to agree. Just understand that right now. Arm yourself with that knowledge. Your flesh is not going to agree with this right here. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Because you're going to start reading about the way, start reading about the truth, and start reading about the life, and then your flesh, you got to deal with that flesh. Your heart does. I had to start dealing with my flesh. And the whole time, it was kicking and screaming and reasoning and figuring out and trying to manipulate and talk. And on top of the devil, on top of that, helping me out, you know, figure a way around that. There's still the way. There's still the truth, and there's still the life. Jesus doesn't change. I'm the one that's got to change. Change has got to come from me. He doesn't change. So he's the way, which is unchangeable. He's the truth, which is unchangeable. And he's the life. We keep trying to get God to change. Did you know that's just nature, human nature? But when I accepted Jesus, I decided, he is the way, whatever you say. Now, I seriously fear God. I have a super, super duper, like my kids always say, I'm super duper sure about that. Or I'm super duper sure I fear God. I really fear God. Now, I don't fear him like I used to fear him in the same way I used to think about him, that he's got a big old ball bat. A lot of people fear God in the sense they think he's got a big ball bat and he's ready to bop him on the head. They say or do anything wrong and they walk around just scared that God's going to get them. Now, that's how I started out, fearing God. And really and truly, it did keep me on my knees and in the Word, because I really didn't know who he was. But as I've come to understand him, I come to understand that there are some things that he has set in place that are not going to change. And it would be a lot easier on me to start conforming to those things that he has already set in place, right? And I'm not talking about all the do's and the don'ts. I'm talking about revelation of his truth. Revelation truth. And revelation truth will always bring you back to not being troubled. It'll always bring you back to peace. It'll always bring you back to love. It'll always bring you back to who he is, the way, the truth, and the life. He really is all those three things, way, truth. truth, life. There's a reason he's wanting us to see this. Because he doesn't change. He's always going to be the way, he's always going to be the truth, and he's always going to be the life. Then he says this. Let's read on. So here's this Thomas questioning. If you had known me, verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth, you know him and have seen him. You know, isn't Jesus just awesome? And he talks to people. He could have said, well, Thomas, someday you'll know him. Hopefully you'll know him. I sure hope you know him someday. He said, he could have said it this way. He said, well, if you've known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, hopefully you'll know him from here on out. Or I hope you'll see him, understand this. He looked at him and he said, you're going to know. You will know him. You have seen me and you know me and you're going to know me and you're going to know me in the revelation of who I really am. The way, the truth, and the life. That's what he was saying to Thomas. And Thomas is the very one that said, I won't believe unless I see the nail prints in his hands and the side thrusting with, this is where the spear went. He was the one who doubted. As an example of somebody, when Jesus saw him, he said, blessed are those that haven't seen and still believe. But Jesus said, you're going to know. You're going to know. He knew he was going to know him. You're going to know him also. I proclaim that every believer in this church is going to know the way, the truth, and the life. And their hearts are not going to be troubled. I prayed this morning, Lord, I want the folks I cover, the folks I pray over, the church that I pastor, they're going to be free from sickness. They're going to be wealthy beyond belief. They're going to be, this is what I pray over people. This is what I pray for the church that I pastor. We're going to know the way, we're going to know the truth, and we're going to know the life, and we're going to be blessed beyond measure. We're going to have riches beyond understanding. Because he has all that. And where he is, we can be also. And we can walk in the way, the truth, and life, and we can walk around with our hearts not troubled. That's what I believe for. I totally cover folks with that revelation. That's changed, though. That's a whole bunch of change for some people to come to that place where they walk in that liberty of the sons of God. There's liberty in serving God. Do you see that? And your spiritual leader, we've got a spiritual covering that believes just like that, too. And guess who he is? Jesus. And it trickles right on down. Pastor Callahan is my spiritual father. I have a wonderful spiritual father. And I'm not sharing anything he wouldn't share. Isn't that good news to hook up with a believing bunch of folks who believe that Jesus really is the way, the truth, and the life? And you can walk around not heart, not be troubled. And that's what I expect. It's not just I expect it, but Jesus looked at Thomas and said, you're going to know. You will know him. You're going to know this. I proclaim everybody here is going to know this. Because I know it. I'd be a poor pastor if I didn't know it. It's just like what Pastor Derber was talking the other night. Said you're either an echo or you're a voice. And a voice knows. Because you've experienced it from your heart. A voice is from the heart. You know, you know, you know. You're not just regurgitating something you've read or thought or somebody told you. You know these things. I know these things. I get up to say, Lord, what am I going to share? Give me something. He says, it's already in you. The word is already nigh you. It's even in your mouth and in your heart. Yes. It's the way it is. It's you walk around in the know. I'm walking around in the know that I know. But it took some change to get to where I know. And I mean, tell you, I had to arm myself with this, that he that suffers in the flesh, you're going to cease from sin. You can't be offended. You can't be mad. You don't have that luxury. You just got to learn how to cast the care upon Him, for He cares for you. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. The Word has got to be number one in your life. He's got to be number one. There's just some things that you're going to have to change. But it's so worth it. It is so worth the change. Glory to God. It is so awesome. So he's talking to Thomas, and if you'd known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know Him and have seen Him. Philip then said, now here's Philip. Philip's piping up, and he says, hey, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us, or it'll suffice us. And Jesus is saying to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet you've not known me, Philip? He's basically, you know, show us the Father. Well, you've seen me, haven't you? You mean the Father's been so long time with you through me? I and my Father are one, and you don't know me? Isn't it wonderful to have a friend in Jesus?
Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. We got a friend in God, the Father. I didn't always know what the love of a father was really like. The love of a father is so wonderful to have a real daddy who really cares about everything you feel. And what is so wonderful about God as Father is that He came and became a man so that He could firsthand understand and He could be a voice, because He's already felt every hurt, every grief, every sorrow, everything that we'd ever experience. He's been right there and He's experienced it first with us. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows our heart on a heart level. And there's not a problem we can't give Him. There's nothing we can't give God. He already knows the answer before you ask Him the answer. He's already got the answer. He knows how to get us out of situations. 1 Corinthians 10:13. First verse I think I ever learned was, there's no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but with the temptation make a way for you to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Or something of that nature it goes. But it's the truth. That's a truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. That's a truth. And you just arm yourself with knowing those things. That's just a truth I'm armed with. Now, let me go ahead and read the rest of this. He said, have I been so long time with you and you've not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how say thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I will do. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Now, all these things that he's sharing here are just powerful empowerment. It's empowerment for us to know these things, to be established in these things. Every one of us need to be established in this way, the truth, and the life. This is truth. The Holy Spirit was sent, and he's not left. He came on the day of Pentecost, and he has not left planet Earth. He's the only part of the Godhead that is in the earth today, and he lives in the believer's heart. And he's there for a purpose. He's your comforter. He's your friend. He's the one who goes along beside you. You need to learn to lean on him and listen to him, because he's receiving direction from God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He'll give you direction. He says in one place, he said he'll show you things to come. I know things are going to happen. Many times the Holy Spirit will show me something's going to happen before it ever happens. I have people get in front of me sometimes, and I see things about people. I know things. The Holy Spirit shows you things. Isn't it wonderful we're not alone? That where He is, we're there also? And greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world? That I'm not alone. That's why I can have a heart that's not troubled. Because I know I'm not alone. See, I know these things. That's what he said to Thomas. He said, you're going to know. You're going to know me. And you're going to know my Father also. And you're going to know we're one. And you're going to know the Spirit of God is in us and in you. To this degree. And in fact, it's going to be, think about, now this is what he prompted his mind when he was talking to Thomas. Or talking to Phillips. When Phillips said, show me the Father. You've been with me 3.5 years. How many people have I raised from the dead? How many demons did I cast out? John said the books, the world could not contain the books that if everything he did was written. Couldn't contain it all. These people saw things that we'll not even maybe even read about until we get to heaven or know about. So he says, every good thing you saw, he says, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, right? Casted out devils, gave them power over all unclean spirits. I heard spirits screaming and crying and going out of people. I have too. And he says, that's not supposed to be surprising that you can do the same thing I did. Because I'm going to my Father and you can do the same things I've done.
Amen. Praise God.
And that's just empowering.
Yes. Hallelujah.
It's so exciting. Some people don't want to do that. Oh, God, I don't want to deal with no devils. Well, I'm sorry. You're going to be dealing with some devils if you want to know the way, the truth, and the life. Because the devil will contend with you. He will contend with you to not know the way, the truth, and the life. And that brings me to the next verse I wanted to take us to. I'm not going to read much more there in St. John, I don't think. But let's go to Jude, the book of Jude. This verse kept coming to me this morning as well. Everybody there? The book of Jude, right before Revelations. Jude is just one page, one chapter, and it's Jude 3. Jude verse 3 says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend. I took this real serious. This is very serious. Now that you know the truth, now that the truth has been delivered to you, you have understanding of salvation, you've got to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, why do I need to earnestly contend for anything? I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Well, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to do my best to serve God and just kind of get along the best I can. And what's this earnestly contending stuff about? Earnestly contending has to do with what he says. We got to contend for the faith. Do you want to walk in sickness the rest of your life? Do you want to walk above sickness the rest of your life? Do you want to walk above healing? I mean, walk above that sickness and disease? Do you want to walk above nervous, shaky, and jerky?
Amen.
Do you want to walk above poverty? Do you want to walk above what? What is he talking about? Earnestly contending for the faith. That we must earnestly contend. When you get a revelation of what belongs to you in Christ Jesus, you got to do something with that. Because there's going to be somebody that's going to contend that. The world will contend against it and the devil will contend. Of course, the devil's in the world's arena. I have to contend for what I believe. It's like a boxer who's already worked out. He's got his box. He's got his gear. He's been practicing. He's been exercising, he's been working, and he's ready to contend. And I'm going to win. Whatever it is the Word says I can have, that's what it says I can have. If it says he was bruised for my, if he was bruised for our transgressions, whatever Isaiah 53, all those scriptures, and by his stripes I was healed. That's something to contend for. And the chastisement of my peace was upon him. I can contend for that. And that's contending for the faith. Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And I'm contending for that.
Yes.
And he's mine. And I'm in him.
Yes. Amen.
Isn't this good news?
Yes. Hallelujah.
The way, the truth, and the life. You know, he said, anyone that come to me, I will in no wise cast out.
Yes. That's what he says.
And I remind him of that all the time because he's the way, the truth, and the life. And this is a truth that I'm established in. He'll never turn me away. He's never too busy. He'll never say, oh, I don't have time today. I'm too busy over here. Call me next week. Or I don't have time to talk right now. I'm going down the road and I'm doing this and this. No, I mean, he's just right there, ready on the job as my high priest all the time.
Yes.
That where he is, I am there also. I'm going to heaven, and you are too. But this church is going to have a revelation of his word. I want to go to 2 Peter, chapter 1. This was another verse he gave me this morning. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, I used to read that verse, and I'd think, why do I have to give such diligence? I got saved. I saw Jesus in my living room. I know he's real. I turned that whole little town upside down when I got saved. I mean, I totally turned it upside down. People were running from me in grocery stores and everything. Churches were tore up. So I mean, they didn't want to see me even come to church. I mean, I go to the Methodist church where everybody's real quiet and sweet and nice. And I'm on my knees, I'm on my feet, I'm shouting, praising God, and praying out loud, and all kinds of stuff, and testifying, and they didn't know what to do with me. I had them all tore up. I thought one woman was going to lose her dentures one day. They about fell out of her mouth. Her mouth flew open. It was in a Bible study, and I just jumped right up, and she went, oh! I thought her teeth were going to fall out. I'll never forget that lady's face. She looked totally shocked. She saw somebody raised from the dead. It was like that. And so here, anyway, this verse here just always jumped out at me. It says, wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. I mean, now then I realized, you know, I've got to do something about staying saved. Now I'm saved, right? A lot of people think that once they're saved, they're always saved. I don't believe that. I believe you can get right back into blindness and be totally engulfed. You ever see a spider? How a spider will do its victim? A spider will watch. He's already got the web laid, right? He went to all that trouble. Now he'll sit back and wait on its victim. And he'll wait on that victim to get not just one little leg in there. He'll wait until it gets really in that web and really stuck. And then what does he do? He comes and then finishes the job by spin. I've watched him in nature do this. I was raised on a farm with animals and bugs and critters. That's all I had to play with. We used to catch critters all the time, you know. I fed 9 little baby rats one time to my dachshund dog. Dug them out of the barn. Used to catch snakes. I mean, I was a wild child. I wasn't afraid of anything. But I used to watch these spiders catch things. In fact, I used to help them out. I used to take bugs and throw them in the web for them. Let me give you a meal today. I didn't have anything else to do, I guess. But the spider's web would just go crazy, you know, and shaking and stuff. Well, here comes the spider. It was almost like an alarm's going off. Hey, I got dinner. The web will be shaking, you know. I'm talking, we had big spiders. I mean, we had huge spiders. I'm in the woods many times on the back of my horse and come up on a big riding spider and have it splat right in my face, like a Charlotte's web, and just the woods are just full of them. So anyway, here's the alarm going off. That thing's a shaking. It's caught a bumblebee or something. And here comes the spider. Now, that thing's way bigger than the spider, maybe. But it'll cast such a web around it that it'll entangle it to where it's not going anywhere. Then it'll bite it with a poison that paralyzes it. Now, I always said the fear is what paralyzes people. If the devil can make you so afraid of your situation and your circumstance, you're paralyzed. You'll not do anything. You'll just stay right where you are. And the change can never happen. See, change will never happen when you're fearful. Change can't be working in your life because we're always moving toward being like him, right? And having the works that he did, we can do also. It's all about getting to the place where you know he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that works that he did. He said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And not only that, he goes so boldly to say, if you've seen the Father in action, you're going to act like him too. You're going to be just like God. Now that's really what it says in St. John chapter 14. You just study it. He is boldly telling Philip, you're going to walk and talk like God would walk and talk in the earth. You're going to be conformed into his image. You're going to do the works that I've done, because God would do the works. You will do the same thing God did. That's what Jesus did. So we've got to diligently and earnestly. It's not something you can just hope to works out. Oh, I hope all this works out. I'm telling you, it's time to get diligent and get serious about changing situations in our lives. You got a husband that's hindering you, that needs to stop. You need to be God in that home and stop that. Anything that opposes us to truth, we need to deal with it, because God would deal with it if he was here. Would he not deal with it? If somebody's watching something blasphemous on television, and that's your home, and you're God in that home, you need to deal with it. I'm telling you, it's time that we rise up and take our place in the kingdom of heaven. And then your heart will not be troubled when you see who you really are and how good you really look. We really look good to God, because we are to be in his image, in his likeness. But we can't do it in our flesh. But this is what he says. Make your calling and election sure. Make your calling the thing that God has called you to be. He's called you to be like him. He's called you to walk like him. He's called you to walk in the way, the truth, and life. And walk in prosperity. Walk in healing. Contend for the faith. Earnestly. Contend. I used to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm not going to let that beating be for nothing that you took. I'm going to access that. I'm not going to, if you said I don't have to carry a care, I'm not going to carry a care. And then I go carefree. Do you know how wonderful it is when you ever start doing that, how great it is? If you ever experienced it yet, you need to contend for that. Because I'm telling you, it's wonderful not have any baggage hanging on you. I can remember a time when I didn't know how to give God my problems. I didn't know how to cast care on him. I'm so troubled and I'm so upset and I'm so angry. I just learned how to do that. But I had to earnestly contend for that. I had to diligently make my calling and election sure. In other words, you're sure-footed. You know where you're going. You know what you know that you know that you know that everything he promises is yours. Hasn't this been a good message?
Yes, praise God. Amen.
This is a truth.
Yes,
and God said the Abrahamic blessing in place. It's not gone anywhere. It's still here. And we have access through the Father, through Jesus. We have the Abrahamic covenant. And what did he tell Abraham? I'm going to bless the whole earth because of you. The whole earth. And I'll tell you something else came to me this morning. When I was thinking about the Abrahamic blessing, I think about it all the time. See, I think about all this stuff all the time. I think everybody should. If you're a believer, you should. So I'm thinking about this morning, and the Lord spoke this to me. Holy Spirit spoke this something to me. I can't say I heard audible voice, but this was an awareness that came clearly to me. He said, you see in the world how everything's moving to a one world government. The world. is moving to one world government. He said the reason they're doing that is because the body of Christ is moving to one unity of the body. The body is coming into a unity like it's never known before. The entire body of Christ, now I'm talking about the entire body of Jesus Christ, is coming into unity of the faith. That we're all starting to wake up and contend for this faith. And we're coming in agreement because He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, He doesn't change. He's established His Word in the heavens forever, and we're starting to line our lives up with this Word. And it's happening all over the place, not just here, everywhere. And the body of Christ is starting to rise up like a sleeping giant, and we're coming into unity. And that's why the world is parallel. It's like you know, what you see the world happening in the world, it's happening in the body in the spiritual realm. Isn't that good?
Yes. Ooh,
glory. We are having some revival coming. Yes. Revival is coming. And in fact, I see this. And with all my heart, I see this. I see thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of believers who get up and really do their duty to God because they got saved. They got saved. They accepted Jesus. And they're going to church. They're going to church. Lots of people go to church. But they don't know what we know. The way, the truth, and the life. And the degree we know it. Because they've not earnestly contended for the faith. And they've not been diligent to make their calling election sure. They've not been on their knees praying three times a day. They've not been reading the Word. They've not been fasting. They've not been serious. But they got a certain amount of seriousness. They go to church. But I see thousands and thousands of people all of a sudden turning to God in a way that we're talking about today. And I mean, it's going to happen fast. I believe that when they start seeing the stock market crash, or they start seeing, you know, you take things away from people, they start looking to God. You take things away from people, they're going to start looking to God. They got to go somewhere. The world doesn't have the answer. But the church will. The true church. We're going to see, I believe, a move of the Holy Spirit in these last days, of people coming in, a harvest. A great harvest is coming. A great harvest is coming. And we are ready. We're ready. We're ready. They're going to have blinded eyes. They're going to need healed. They're going to have broken legs. They're going to have things are just, the hospitals won't be able to help people anymore. The church can help them because we've got the power of God. We've contended for the faith. We knew this day was coming. I knew it was coming. I always knew it was coming. 30 years ago, I knew this day was coming. And I wanted to be prepared for it. Amen. You know, it's a luxury to go down to the doctor and take a pill. That's a luxury. Well, if there ain't no doctor, well, there ain't no pill. What are you going to do? There was a day when these people didn't have what we have. Now, I'm thankful for medical science, and I'm thankful for the advances in science and all. It's wonderful. But to me, He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. And there's a place that you can get to where your heart's not troubled.
Amen.